What was she doing with your credit card?
She knows where my purse is.
The mother's gas card's on empty.
I didn't know my credit card was missing.
What were the total charges?
$242.
And the daughter's filling up her wallet.
You must have been doing a lot of driving.
I did leave my hometown a lot. I
was on the same day.
How do you stop a wild child?
You stop the credit card.
Judge Judy.
You say...
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 44-year-old assistant college instructor Betsy Hartman and her husband, 67-year-old construction worker Donald Hartman, are suing Betsy's daughter, 20-year-old Lisa Teal. The Hartmans claim Lisa made numerous unauthorized charges on their gas card.
Order. All rise. Yes, case number 45 on the calendar, the matter of Hartman versus Teal. Parties have been sworn in. Judge, you may be seated. Sir, have a seat.
Mrs. Hartman, is this your daughter?
Yes, ma'am.
Is this your daughter or your stepdaughter?
Stepdaughter.
The complaint that I have, and I'll speak primarily to Mrs. Hartman, is that your daughter used a credit card of yours. You want her to pay the charges on the credit card. And also that you let her borrow your car, and she let the oil run out in the car as a result of which the car has engine damage that you want her to pay for. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
What was she doing with your credit card?
Well, apparently she was using it at a gas station. Anybody can use the...
How did she get it?
I honestly don't know.
What do you mean you honestly don't know?
She knows where my purse is and where my credit cards are, and she's in and out of the house, so I really don't know.
Well, when for the first time did she use your credit card?
In December of 1990.
December of 1990, when she was 10 years old?
1999.
1299, she used your credit card for the first time. Did you confront her about it?
That was a time that I had allowed her to use it and bring it right back. She was living with me at the time, and it was that as opposed to she needed the money for gas.
When was the next time she used your credit card?
There were two times more in December that she used it with my permission and the express that she was to bring it right back and hand it to me.
Well, did she?
Yes, she did.
Well, what are the charges that you're disputing now?
The charges after she moved out... The beginning of January, the end of December, beginning of January, the charges started piling up in the end of January and got very excessive charges. And I started looking into those charges, and they were at gas stations that neither my husband or I go to.
That was in January?
Yes. January and February.
Are those the charges, January and February of 2000, that you
right.
are complaining about? How many bills did you get?
Two.
Well, why didn't you, after the first one, cut off the credit card?
Well, I didn't know my credit card was missing because I only use it at gas stations, and in the wintertime, I let my husband fill the gas tank.
What I'm asking you is, if you see somebody is using a credit card of yours in an unauthorized fashion, and you're getting credit card bills that you don't know anything about, you look in your wallet and you say, do I have my credit card? And if you don't have your credit card, which I assume you didn't, because your daughter had it, then you call the credit card company, you say, I want to cease all further purchases on this credit card. Why didn't you do that?
I didn't know until quite a bit later, after the charges had started, because the closing date is the 25th, and the charges started after the 25th.
For how many months?
Almost exactly 1 month. About the 25th of January to the 25th of February.
So it's just that 1 month that you're complaining about?
Yes.
And what were the total charges for that?
That was $242, approximately.
Okay, tell me about the credit card.
She had given it to me to use because I had moved out, and I get paid biweekly, and she had let me use it for gas. She had given it to me. He was there when she gave it to me to use for gas, to get back and forth to work, and I was at school during the night, and she gave it to me to use for gas, to go back and forth.
So she gave it to you?
Yes.
Daughter says you gave her the credit card to use for gas.
Yes, in December, like I had said, there were three times that I had allowed her to use the card.
So you gave it to her in December. And evidently, she didn't give it back to you at some point when she moved out.
Either that or she took it from my wallet. I don't know which one.
Let me see the bills for you that you're talking about.
These.
When you moved out, where did you go?
Probably about 20 minutes from her house.
Who did you move in with?
Him.
What is he to you?
He's my best friend.
Just your friend?
Yes.
And the gas that you're talking about is the gas from Citgo.
That's correct.
Citgo 7-Eleven is where you fill your car up with gas?
Yes.
Sometimes you get things other than gas there, I assume.
I think once I got a pack of cigarettes.
On the 23rd of February, there were two charges, one for $6.62, one for $10, and then on the 25th, there were another two charges, one $8.35 and one $19.98. Let me see the rest. And then I'll tell you if I can figure out what you're doing, because I had kids too. You have any idea what I'm talking about?
No.
Let me give this to you. You and your friend both need gas in your car. So you say, let's pull up together. I'll use my credit card. You give me the cash. What are you looking at me like that for?
Because he never used a credit card.
I'm not saying this friend. I went through that scam a lot until I figured out what it was. Let's see what else we have on the same date. According to this, on the 13th of February, you put in $16 worth of gas in your car. And then again, on the 14th of February, you put in $17.50 of gas in your car. You must have been doing a lot of driving. Now you understanding what I'm meaning?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yes.
Then on the 14th, there's another $10 gas in your car. You just filled your car up with gas and you drove around the block a couple hundred times, then you put another $10?
No.
Then on, just a second, then on the 15th, you're putting in $20. Then on the 16th, $12. On the 16th, $15. Then on the 19th, you had a big day. You put in gas. You must have been driving a lot. I'm surprised that you had time to sleep. On February 19th, you put in $15. On the 19th, you put in $20. And on the 19th, you put in another $20.
I did leave my hometown a lot.
Not on the same day.
No, but I did use other people's cars, and I put gas in their cars. I will admit to that.
Ms. Hartman, so this is what you do. You stop the credit card. You don't sue your daughter. Do you understand?
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Don't sue your 20-year-old. You call up and you say, somebody has my card, and I don't want there to be any more charges on my card.
I honestly believed I had that at home because I have left a card in with my pants before.
You don't follow me. Your daughter is clearly using your credit card. Not using it, abusing it. Let us say you gave it to her in December and said, this is for you to use for to put gas in your car. And then you get these bills. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, you say, I know what my kid's doing. She's scamming me. Either she's getting the cash from her friends, she's getting the cash from her boyfriend, she's putting gas in her boyfriend's car, she's putting gas in friends' cars. I mean, she could also be shopping for groceries there, too, because kids do that also. Now, that may have been outside the scope of your permission. But what you do is you do not sue her. You don't sue her. She's 19 years old. You say, don't do it again. I'm cutting off the card.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Betsy and Donald Hartman are suing Betsy's daughter, Lisa Teal, for unauthorized charges on their gas card and for destroying a car engine.
Let's talk about not putting oil in your car. You let her borrow your car.
Yes.
Go ahead.
She and some friends were driving around town, and they were talking about the car making some kind of a knocking sound. My husband asked Lisa if she had checked the oil, and apparently Lisa said yes. Well, he checked it after they had left the car there, and the car was over 4 quarts low, and that pretty well toasted the engine. That was the cause of the knocking. It was getting more and more, but they continued to drive it.
So you took the car away from her?
Yes, because she was supposed to take care of the car, not let anyone else drive it, and I wanted her desperately to finish school and to have a job. But she was only to drive to school, to her job, and quick errands, and this driving a lot she had was talking about, a lot out of town, was not part of the agreement of borrowing the car.
Your Honor, I got something to say about the oil thing.
I'm dying to hear you.
Okay, about the oil thing, I put oil in the car. We had an oil leak in the car in the first place.
Did she tell you to watch the oil?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Very specifically.
Shh, just a second. If you told her to watch the oil, that means you'd been having trouble with the oil.
No, sir. No.
Oh, of course. People don't watch oil anymore unless they're having trouble with oil leaking.
It's a matter of responsibility that she was
you're
to take care of the car.
You're absolutely 100% right. And you know how I know that you're absolutely 100% right? I will go to a story about my irresponsibility when my parents gave me a car. And believe me, I was not 19 years old or 20 years old. I was in my 30s, and my father gave me his car because he wanted to know that I was driving a safe car to and from work, and this was a very good car. So I thought until I got finished with it. And when I got finished with it, they had to come with a flatbed and take it out of the garage because I just thought that that noise would go away. Now, I did not consider myself a totally irresponsible human being. I was working. I was supporting two children, you know. But I was irresponsible with the car, for which I apologized. And I don't think that they let me borrow another one of their cars again. But, Ms. Hartman, they didn't sue me. They didn't sue me.
There was a lot of history of irresponsibility with my daughter, and I've tried very much to help her with everything over the years.
Eventually, she will grow up. She will pass 20. If she's lucky and you let her, she's going to live until she's 30. And then maybe she'll come to terms with the fact that she's supposed to act like a responsible person. What I'm saying to Mrs. Hartman is, you don't sue her.
I was trying to hold her responsible for her actions. She has been responsible for basically, I have paid emotionally, physically, and health-wise for many, many thousands of dollars of things being stolen from the house. The only reason for the car was it was so important to me that she would finish high school.
Did she?
No, unfortunately she didn't.
So what are you doing now?
Right now, I'm looking for another job.
So you're not doing anything is what you're doing?
I just recently lost my job.
What kind of work were you doing?
Fast food.
Listen, children sometimes disappoint us. That's part of being a parent. You don't resolve an issue with a teenager by suing them. Time's gonna come, you're gonna have to grow up and be responsible, you know? If you had a credit card and you abused it, you're supposed to say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I mean it.
I am sorry for it.
Okay. Ms. Hartman, it is impossible for me to make a determination with regard to the credit card. I believe she had your permission to use the credit card for gas, and it's impossible for me to determine how much she abused and how much she did not. I can't make a determination about the car. You let her borrow the car, she was using the car. She may have been irresponsible with the car and not taken good care of it. Then you don't give her another car. That's it. Goodbye.
Why is that excuse? You may step out.
I feel badly that I did use my mom's credit card and did abuse her. But I, like Judge Judy said, I don't think she should have sued me.
Hold them accountable for their actions a lot sooner.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Adams versus Trimble. Step forward, please.
45-year-old Kavina Adams is suing her ex-boyfriend, 45-year-old cook Sam Trimble, for unpaid rent and living expenses. Sam says after he went on a three-day drinking binge, Kavina locked him out.
Miss Adams, according to the complaint that I've read, you and the defendant knew each other.
He asked me to marry him.
Oh, just a sec. You were friends? Did you work at the same place?
No, we did not. We met, he was a MTC bus driver, and we met on one of his layovers, and we had a relationship. He was my boyfriend.
You were supposed to have some surgery on your knee.
Yes, ma'am.
You decided to move into a friend of his home, and the agreement was that he would pay the expenses.
Right. His friend was also a bus driver for the city of Minneapolis. That it would be a nice place for me to recuperate. I had total knee replacement surgery on my left knee, and I have to have it on my right knee. He agreed to take care of me, and I didn't have to worry about anything until this knee replacement, and I was on my feet.
So you moved into this friend's apartment.
Right. And I had surgery the very next day.
And he paid the rent?
For February, yes, ma'am.
And then he left.
In March, he totally disappeared. He had never done this before. He treated me like a queen, did everything for me. And I'm freaking out. I'm immobile. I had total knee replacement surgery. There was no food. He took the cell phone with him. He left on payday. I didn't know where he was or what was going on. I'm in a continuous passive motion machine for 4 to 6 hours a day. I had to call my friend Michael to come over. I had nothing in the house. I didn't know what happened to him. I found out later on that he had a problem with substance abuse.
Your lawsuit says that he should pay the next month's rent because he promised that he would take care of you.
Right.
You're suing him for $500.
Right.
Mr. Trimble, what she's saying is you agreed to take care of her until she recuperated from her surgery. Did you agree to do that?
Yes, I did.
And you paid for February's rent?
Yes.
And then you left?
I had some problems myself. I had totaled out my car. I had to have some days off from work, so I really wasn't receiving any money most of February. I went out and I did go drinking a couple of days. Didn't return. The night I returned 2 days later, she wouldn't let me in. She wouldn't let me in. She's cussing me out. I had to go to my ex-wife's house because I had some work clothes there. When I get there, my wife and ex-wife and our two children there, she hit the record button. She's on the phone saying that I'm on a crack binge and don't let me in the house. After that, I went to work 4 o'clock in the morning. I have a manager that has to check me out because a friend called.
Okay.
Said I was on drugs.
Miss Adams.
Yes.
Did there come a time when he went out on some sort of a binge in
yes,
early
ma'am.
March? And did he come home after that binge?
3 days later.
Oh, okay. Just answer my question.
Yes, ma'am.
Came home 3 days later.
Right.
And when he came home 3 days later, did he let himself into the apartment? Or did
no,
he
I didn't even. I was in the bed. Mark answered the door. I didn't even know he was there. Mark came in and knocked on my bedroom door, and he said Sam was here, and I didn't let him in.
That's a lie. No,
it's not.
Mark didn't come to the door for
you. Mark came to the door, to my bedroom door, knocked on the door, and said that Sam was here. He hasn't been here for 3 days. How could he treat you like this?
No, I don't want to hear all that stuff. So
okay.
What you're telling me is you didn't answer the
I
door.
I did not answer the door.
Yes, you did.
Mark answered the door.
Right.
Was that the only time you tried to go back to the house, sir?
The next day, the following day after I went to work, she's in front of the bus company cussing me out, just calling me all kinds of names, disrespecting me. And Mark took her someplace to, he said, to let her cool off. He said to come back to the apartment later on, and we talked. So later on the following day, I did go back there.
Who did you talk with?
I talked with Mark because she wasn't there.
Mr. Trimble, it is apparent to me that the two of you entered into an agreement. You were going to live together while she was recuperating from her surgery. Before she went back to work, you were going to cover the expenses on your home. Based on that, she moved in with you, and you have an obligation to fulfill that verbal contract. Verbal contract was, in this case, a relatively inexpensive one. It was another $500 towards the rent. Not terrible. Not tragic,
it's not
Mr.
Trimble.
But
am I supposed to accept all this verbal abuse?
Well, Mr. Trimble, what did you expect her to do?
The job and saying I'm on drugs?
Listen, Mr. Trimble, what did you expect her? Put that down. What did you expect her to do? Throw you a dinner? When you disappear for 3 days.
No, I expect to get in. If I'm paying rent, I expect to get in.
I don't find that she locked you out. If you had an agreement with Mark to pay rent, you could have called the police and said, I've paid rent for this month and I'm entitled to come inside. This is my home. You could have done that. But what did you expect her to do? I mean, here you are. You're planning a future together. She is incapacitated as a result of recent surgery. You, for whatever reason, go off for 2-3 days on a binge, not letting anybody know where you are, and then you come home. She is angry.
Okay, granted.
She is angry. Somehow men think that, you know, you got to understand, it's just a guy, you know? Sometimes those things happen. Well, she wasn't prepared to do that, but that does not excuse you from abiding by the contract that you entered into, although a verbal one, to pay the rent, judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $500. That's
thank
all.
You.
Why is
that
excused? You may step out.
The day after I had surgery, he had totaled the car and went to Abbott Hospital and said his goals are to get off drinking and drugs. So, total surprise to me.
I have a restraining order against him. Harassment at the job, harassing my ex-wife and our children.
Of course I harassed him. How dare you treat me like that?
She's a vindictive person. She won this round, fine, but she still, for 2 years, had to stay away from me and mine.